early evening of day 12. I've spent the day spending long, long periods of time in many of the different aspects of third jhana, and just on the cusp of fourth jhana. And I'm just going to take as many days as it takes to explore the depths of third jhana, getting to know every aspect of it, with the goal to be able to master going through it fairly efficiently, and ultimately be able to spend lengthier times in fourth jhana. I still keep just barely tipping into it and then tip back into third jhana. But it's a very deep, peaceful time right now. It's the morning of day 13. And this morning has been a quick journey from looking at the candle flame. I get a brief glimpse of not even the red dot, but really just the black dot and the image, the shape of the candle, and it disappears into the murk very quickly. And from there I went to that cusp between third and fourth jhana, where the three-dimensional aspect of the swirls and colors are becoming the focus. This morning, looking out on the lake was very appropriate to what I'm working on with the meditation. Misty. So misty in the beginning that I couldn't see past the shoreline. The cabin I'm in is on a rock cliff over a lake with islands and distant shores. And in the beginning of the morning, I couldn't see past our shoreline. But as the mist started to lift, the trees on the cabin lot were clear and colorful, and the trees on the distant shore were vaguely discernible in the mist. This is closely matching where I'm at in my meditation, where there's this misty, filmy, three-dimension sort of wanting to form out of that mistiness. So I spent some time just looking out at the distant shore and seeing what was forming out past the lake, and watching the trees slowly emerge and disappear in the mist. I'm finding the mildly observation-y tone of yesterday has really dissipated. Earlier in the day, there's much more of a just being with whatever is there in the meditation. Less struggle, less trying to control, less striving, pleasant, natural way to be. The best advice that I got in terms of maintaining a kind of concentration that will really support the meditation and keep the concentration high is to move through the day in walking or kayaking or doing tasks from the perspective of what it would be like in a lucid dream. There's a certain quality of attention there, and that's what I'm bringing into my transition times or activities. And during these times, I'm staying with the mantra as much as possible. And if I notice the mantra has drifted off, it's just a nice, clear sign to me that I need to bring it back in to heighten that concentration. The beauty of the Fire Casino meditation is definitely that the visuals give you such a clear feedback at all times where your concentration is at. And the mantra, both in the meditation and in transitions, can give a similar, not quite as clear, but a similar feedback in terms of the depth of the concentration. Another thing about day 13 for me is that I'm really tapping in strongly to the joyous aspects of the sits, and that is deepening that letting go aspect that needs to be there for me to cross that fence between third jhana and fourth jhana. Day 15. Yesterday's recordings did not work because the volume was not up on the recording device, so I'm going to just briefly recap, actually the day before as well. I can't remember if I had already talked about getting into slightly more rapid cycling. So I'm going through about three cycles a day now where I have a fruition and then drop back to the bottom of the cycle and start the sequence over again. And I'm using the time right after the fruition to experiment with different things, like trying to get right back up and have additional fruitions. The initial fruitions at the end of the cycle are extremely strong, and I'm starting to see them much more clearly. I have experienced the impermanence entranceway with three sharp shutters very quick. And then the experience of myself coming back online with slight disorientation and just trying to get my bearings, and then extreme beautiful vibrations in the forehead chakra that reverberate through the whole body. One of the fruitions yesterday was just, I had just become all forehead chakra. And then the colors become extraordinarily bright and change rapidly. So when I intend to go back, right back up again, sometimes it's a little hard for me to get really absorbed again until some of those bliss waves settle down. So it took me about 20 minutes on one of the cycles yesterday to let the incredible bliss calm down, and then I was able to get another couple of fruitions, which were much softer. I'm also trying to bring in more of a sense of balance. The last couple of days especially have felt more of vipassana than shamatha, so I'm trying to balance that with a real sense of ease in the body, and sometimes just lying in the corpse pose, the yoga corpse pose, and intending for the seven chakras to open, and that's just a very easy place to rest and yet still maintain a good level of concentration. That's one thing I've really, really noticed on the retreat, is the concentration definitely ebbs and flows. And it doesn't matter how much effort I put into keeping the concentration up, it does ebb. And then there's other times when it's supremely high and the mantra is right there. The other thing I've been bringing in a little more consciously lately is the factor of awakening of joy. Even though in my daily living there's a lot of joy, when I approach meditation I tend to have too serious an approach, so I have to be conscious to bring in that aspect of joy. And just looking back over the retreat over the last while, it does amaze me how there's been different features that have been highlighted as the retreat has progressed. You know, there was one period where it was just so much all about the colors and the shades and the subtleties of that. And then parts of the retreat for me have just been really learning the techniques and getting to know the sequence, and other parts have just been maintaining patience with the slowdowns in some of the passageways of the sequence. This morning's sit, my sits in the morning tend to be slow, and this morning I was up very early, and I use the candle flame quite a bit more in the morning, and don't use it as much as the day goes on. But in the morning, I was concentrating on the candle flame and meditating, and I almost missed the most gorgeous sunset. But I happened to open my eyes just as the sun was, I guess it was getting high enough, still wasn't above the horizon, but it was high enough that it was starting to color the clouds in the lake in the most beautiful crimson and yellow golden colors imaginable. And doing this retreat has really increased my appreciation of color in the world. So I was grateful to have opened my eyes and to be able to just sit, and that became my morning meditation, was to watch the subtle changes in the colors second by second as the sunrise progressed. Funny how we can be so intensely involved in the retreat that we can miss something as fiery as a sunrise. Right after a fruition, I now know that that is a powerful time for the mind to have some good influence. So I do find myself scrambling a bit after a fruition, trying to decide what to use that power for. And today I used it, for some reason, my initial fruition after completing a cycle this morning was actually quite mild. And so I used that little window of opportunity to go right back up again and intend to see the entrance way more clearly, which I did. It was very rewarding. And then I had one more very mild fruition. So I'm heading out for a brief kayak ride to keep things balanced. Evening of day 15. I'm finding the time on the water a beautiful balance to the fire casino meditation. And then when I got back, things shifted very heavily into shamatha territory. And the sits have been quiet, and at the physical level it's been much more still. It's probably the first time that I've had a very concentrated sit where there were not chakra vibrations happening. Mild pleasantness in the body, pleasant to neutral. I have to say this is the first time on the retreat where there's just been a stable field. Relatively stable. Always some little shimmer happening somewhere, but my mind seemed to be able to go with the overall stability of the visual field. Definitely an alert mind, so not drowsiness or sleepiness. I'll add that the shamatha jhanas have had a restorative effect, tranquil, restful places to be, in contrast to some of the more vibrant experiences that have been going on up till now. It is the evening of day 15. I have continued to stay in a pretty deep shamatha phase this evening. I think a turning point for me was when I was out kayaking on the lake earlier. I became very aware that I wasn't trying to change any of the visual. I was just truly seeing what was being presented in front of me as I kayaked along. And I noticed the difference in how it felt compared to going through the sequence. There's just this undercurrent of pushing through the sequence. And when I got back from the kayak ride, that's when things really started to shift and go more shamatha. I really allowed whatever happened in the closed eye meditation visual field to just happen without trying to push deeply restorative, relaxing. Mind is incredibly quiet right now. The morning of day 16, and it is a slow start to the day, feeling pretty sluggish, pretty fatigued. Early in the sleeping night, I had a significant nightmare. Wasn't able to get back to sleep, so haven't had a lot of rest. So I've been just kind of sluggishly hanging out in jhana territory, not quite getting into the deep formless realms that I was last night. And every once in a while, slowly finding myself in third jhana and having the odd fruition. One interesting thing about the nightmare is that I rarely ever have them. So something must be being stirred up at some level. Early evening on day 16. It has been a bit of a slower day with the fatigue. Was able to do some nice practice in the formless realms. No medicine Buddha. It is late evening on day 17, not day 16. I lost a day somehow there. I've continued to spend time in the formless jhanas and really taking my time transitioning from one jhana to the next, and particularly in, let's say, the fourth jhana, taking the time to fully drop the sensations of the body to enter the more formless realm of the higher jhanas. And every once in a while finding myself drifting off and then just pulling myself back again when I regain awareness. Also went out for a walk this evening and am continuing to really enjoy the fuller range of how I'm attending to the visual field, both in the walking and kayaking outings. Much more ability to stay with and go out into large expansive areas that before I would have just glossed over and seen as boring, or it's just amazing how the eyes will skip over areas of the visual field that are perceived as not worthy of attention, and how much it brings the entire visual field alive to start attending to not just the finer details, but the wider expanses that have a complete richness to them as well. It is the midday of day 18. Spent some time this morning getting up to third jhana in the fire casino and exploring that, and then really spent the rest of the day going up and down the jhanas, but particularly the spending time in 4th, 5th, and 6th. Did a lot of travel. This is the most traveling I've ever done, and the most clear the traveling has been. So it really lent itself to going from 4th jhana into the traveling, and then from that, seeing the spaciousness and being able to drop the travel and go into the 5th and 6th jhanas. These states are just phenomenally restful. The mind is very quiet. And now I'm going to go outside and move the body. It is the evening of day 18. I've had a very nice afternoon of going quickly and smoothly through the sequence up to a fruition. I haven't been able to get to fourth jhana with living, moving beings. So what I've been doing at the third jhana, right before getting a fruition, instead of getting more deeply absorbed at that point, I turn my mind away from the beautiful, moving, swirling, three-dimensional colors and just get into a more restful space and focus more on the quality of equanimity, spaciousness. And the colors really slow down to the point where there's just this pale visual field. And I move into what is very similar to the high equanimity or sort of the high level of 11th jhana. If you can imagine that without very much movement, so there's no vibration in the body, in the chakras, no quickly moving, shifting nimitta, but just a very quiet, spacious, equanimous state. And I just rest there, and that is where the full out flying is starting to happen for me. And what I'm really enjoying about this is being able to stay in the flying experience long enough to have a very good look around. In the past, the flying episodes have been so quick, just in, out. I've also just been able to start having more influence in what I do in the flying. And, you know, I'll think to myself to try and do a motion or to try and have something happen, and it's just starting to do that. So I'm getting bolder and seeing if I can fly to a different area. So far it's all been either in the cabin or outside of the cabin, and what I'd like to do is try and go somewhere farther away. And of course my ultimate would be to go to where the Medicine Buddha is. The other thing that I've started doing more, when I get to the third jhana, I've been getting to the place where the three-dimensional swirls are forming, and I've been working with that a bit more to build that up into, you know, instead of looking at tree trunks or the stems of mushrooms, I'll imagine that they are the arms and legs of a Buddha. And I've been coloring them blue and also looking for facial type of shapes in the swirls of color. One of the interesting things about my own personal way of seeing is that I'm not able to actually visualize, like if someone were to say to me, can you see an apple? I'm not able to do that on demand. Now, an apple could easily come up in, you know, a dream or in a lucid dream. But I think the building up of the visualization in the third jhana, with the colors, will probably ultimately help me be able to actually visualize something more solid and three-dimensional down the road. Another thing that's been happening when I'm in that very quiet place around the time that the traveling is happening is that I'm starting to have clear statements, voices making statements to me, usually female, once in a while male, and they just come out of the blue from different parts of the visual field. I can't see who the people are. And at the time that the statement's being said, I just think, wow, that'll be really interesting to ponder that. But unfortunately, at the end of the meditation, I can't remember what the statements were. And I'm very reluctant to stop and write them down mid-meditation, because I know that'll break the state. So one very gratifying thing about spending the time learning this kind of practice in retreat mode is the familiarity with each stage of the sequence and the sense that not so much like at the beginning where I just sometimes felt I was accidentally falling into certain territory and then not being able to get back there. There's much more knowledge about the different parts of the whole sequence. This is the early evening of day 19. It's been a rewarding, satisfying day of meditating. Feeling like I've really gotten to know the sequence as far as I can get up to, and also have definitely found the launching pad for very frequent traveling, full out of body traveling, and the kind of traveling where I can take a much better look around than I used to be able to. I'm hoping to see more northern lights tonight. Last night was a beautiful evening of the shimmering northern lights and their reflection on the lake. So I'm getting fruitions in new ways now. For me, in the past, I'd always needed to be watching very fine visual vibrations in the nimittas that I would see and feeling the fine vibrations in the chakras. Kind of a high equanimity, 11th jnana kind of place. I'm now sometimes just sitting, not even sure why I'm deciding to stop meditating, but just sitting and then finding myself in a reverie that I can't even remember what the reverie was after. And coming out of the reverie through one of the doors and getting a fruition. Also have had a fruition while traveling, which is a new thing for me. It's an amazing mix of vipassana and shamatha, and I never really know if it's going to lean more in one direction or the next, and I've just had to be fluid and nimble and go with whichever one is presenting more strongly. Which is one of the things I've been enjoying about the Fire Casino meditation is the full range. There's just so many different paths that it can take you on, and the visual experience being out and about between the meditations is quite spectacular. The other thing that's been fun for me today has been exploring setting intentions before the traveling. That is something I've not been able to have any success with in the past, partly because the travel expeditions have been so quick, and I just haven't had my wits about me enough to actually look around and see what's happening. One of the things that I intended to do was to, first of all, have a full out of body instead of just partial travel. So that's been happening successfully. And then I wanted to pick specific places to go. Naturally, the first place I wanted to do was go to where the Medicine Buddha is. And that had disappointing results, so I decided to try for something more simple, something perhaps more doable. So I would do things like go to a cupboard and open a cupboard door, or seemingly to the cabin. I have actually no idea what door it is, but I do walk outside. The other thing I thought I would try doing is just seeing if I could bring some living beings into the scene, because my scenes are always just filled with, usually just filled with objects. And so I had what probably most people would consider an angel walk through the scene that I was in. I don't believe in angels, so I really don't know what it was. It was a very luminous, translucent being. Unfortunately, I could not see the angel's face, but my sense was that it was a male. I've continued to have clear statements being made during the meditation. It'll just usually be one sentence said with quite a bit of conviction. So earlier today, a female voice said quite sternly, not overly serious, but just quite clear and authoritative, "We will be doing this again tomorrow." And I just knew exactly what she meant, meditating. Day 20. Had an interesting evening last night and somewhat this morning. I guess this is where Vipassana can kick in strongly. I got stuck in that murky area right after the black dot fades and the candle shape fades into the grayish murk. Spent a real surprising amount of time there. I just would have thought that I would have had the navigation skills to move through there, so I just stayed there. And then little bit of movement into some green and yellow would happen, and then that would go away and back to the total murk. This morning, more thinking, hard to keep the mantra going, not so concentrated. It is early evening on day 20, and I decided to spend much of the day just going through the sequence. And I must be in a pretty concentrated state, perhaps in fairly good, solid equanimity. I am going through the sequence from watching the candle flame to having a fruition probably about once every 10 minutes or so. And this is lasting for hours. And then I'll sometimes just even think the word fruition and get another fruition at the end of the cycle, sometimes 6 or 7 times. And it's very easeful, just very natural. It's a nice feeling to be able to complete the sequence with such ease. Every once in a while, I do a bolder intention, like wishing for the, or intending for the medicine Buddha to arise in my experience. And I'm having absolutely no signs of a medicine Buddha. I got one solid day left, and I will keep trying. I've had some brief travel excursions today, very, very brief, almost just like flutters, partial travels. Just spending a little bit of time after supper, relaxing in front of a beautiful fire in the wood stove. Day 21, last day. The morning sits were filled with that same confidence to get through the sequence easily and quickly that I had yesterday. Normally it takes me a little longer in the day to really get going. My afternoon sits are often the strongest, so it's very satisfying to have that happen so early in the morning. And this afternoon I decided to just sit and let the mind go where it wanted. It's the first time that I've been able to just sit and not meditate and be there and have fruitions. High equanimity today. I'm very fortunate to have some days ahead where I can ease myself off and re-enter gradually. So I'll be probably spending a good few hours tomorrow with the candle flame and the rest of the day normal living. So I'm going to do a little more formal sitting tonight and probably head out for another kayak ride. There have been times where things that were brought to the surface were somehow manageable and okay and seen so clearly, yet from a place of more ease. One of the learnings for me moving forward in my practice is working in a more skillful way with intentions. I would get discouraged and drop the intention setting for many sits at a time and then find my way back to setting them probably not wholeheartedly enough. And that is something moving forward I would really like to come to more equanimity with, is just the ability to state the intention and truly drop it. This is day 23. I have decided to keep up the meditation right up until I leave this northern place. So I've added an extra 5 or 6 days onto the retreat, and I'll just take the hit on the other end in terms of re-entry. Yesterday morning was more of that sense of mastery of the basic sequence ending in fruition, and I'm sure I was having some of my first fruit, like one or two fruitions, just while walking around with eyes open. In terms of practice yesterday, again, the sequence was ending in fruitions fairly consistently, fairly easily in the morning. And then I encountered very frustrating circumstance for the rest of the day. My eye muscles became sore, the back of my eyes, all the muscles around there. And I continued to push hard and continue to try and meditate. The harder I tried, the worse the muscle soreness became. And the worse the muscle soreness became, the more my striving went up. So the whole afternoon and evening had a total reobservation feel to it. And my concentration was lowering, so the thoughts were just really filled with frustration, negativity, and all the fun stuff that you would encounter in full-on reobservation. And, you know, I had moments of a sense of humor, but for the most part, it was just pretty bleak, just slamming up against going nowhere. Of course, worrying that the rest of my planned retreat was just going right down the toilet. And this morning, I woke up after a really good sleep. My eyes are feeling great. So yesterday, I'm not sure if it was just fatigue or perhaps fighting the flu. I would like to learn a more skillful way of handling that when it comes up again. So it's been just a slow morning and getting into the afternoon now, a slow morning of building up the concentration again and getting the equanimity coming back. Really appreciating the comfort of doing a meditation sit without pain and discomfort in the eyes. So there's deep relaxation involved with that experience now for me. I have a heightened appreciation for that. I haven't had a fruition yet today. The colors are vibrant, shifting, bursting into star-like explosions. And I'm really learning that to set intentions with expectations hurts. I'm much better to just surrender to what's happening on the visual field and become as deeply absorbed into that as I can. To set intentions before that, at this stage of my progress with this meditation, I tend to get frustrated and disappointed and discouraged. So I still have work to do in that area. In the meantime, I'm learning a tremendous amount about that whole balance of surrender and opening up to the possibility of what the mind can create. One more note about the mantra yesterday. There were times when the mantra was just a real struggle for me. in reobservation. Unfortunately, my thoughts really took over. So again, you know, this is the benefit of doing a mantra on a meditation is when the mantra drops completely, you know that your concentration is pretty much kaput. So just in the same way that the visuals gives you immediate feedback on whether or not you're seeing color, seeing the red dot, seeing the black dot, seeing images, there's just this immediate feedback on whether you're there or not. It's the same with the mantra. Now, one thing I did experience yesterday, just in the midst of all this reobservation, I just deeply, deeply tried to let go of the eye muscle tightness. In the midst of that, all of a sudden, while my husband was doing dishes, the sound of the dishes and the water and the clanging of the dishes somehow merged with my mantra, and it exploded into this amazing experience of the mantra coming from the kitchen towards me. It was really quite remarkable. Late afternoon of day 23, and I'm just so happy that I hung in there and kept going after the rough day yesterday. This afternoon has been a fabulous sit. I'm getting better at having nothing between me and the colors. So absorption is coming faster. The fruitions are coming faster. At the point of real absorption, that is the time that I'll either start to travel or the fruition. One thing that I've been having a lot of fun with is intending for changes to happen. And it seems that even just the intention to have a color change to another color, as I'm watching that new color form, I'm so deeply absorbed in what is showing up on the screen that that's when a fruition is very likely to happen. Same with just as I'm waiting for a shape of an intended tree to form, the trunk is shaping up nicely and the foliage is showing itself, and then boom, fruition. One thing that happened at first accidentally was that I did a partial travel with my hand into the color and took my finger and scraped a line, kind of like finger painting, into the color. And that was so much fun that I decided to intend for my hands to go into the color again. And at one point I had one hand on either side of the field of color and I just ran my hands down the sides. I'm going to keep trying that a little bit. Whenever I think that my concentration is very high, like after a fruition, I'm continuing to intend to see the medicine Buddha with, at this point, 100% no luck. But sticking with the retreat today really tells me the importance of hanging in there, no matter how rough a reobservation can feel. It is completely surmountable. And it's a powerful thing to be able to experience pulling out of that reobservation and getting into such high equanimity again within less than a day. This is day 24. Yesterday was mostly a day of feeling confidence with completing the sequence with ease. I made a decision when I felt striving during the sequence, just before getting really absorbed in the colors and shapes, I can feel fairly significant, sort of palpable striving of varying degrees, that something different or amazing, like the medicine Buddha showing up, comes up. And I, for the most part, have been able to just turn the mind away from that and continue going, and then fairly quickly getting absorbed into what's happening. But last night I decided to really let go into the striving and explore that as a deeper experience of reobservation. And I set up the goal to probably more in agreement with myself that I would explore that state of mind as openly, completely, and clearly as possible. And that as I felt myself coming more into a state of acceptance and equanimity, that I would say a few things in my mind that would bring me back to the full-on reobservation mode, and that I would bring myself back into it twice. And it was without doubt the most clear and complete experience of reobservation that I have ever had. It felt unbelievably counterintuitive to put myself back into it, but I definitely was able to experience it with less getting lost in it. There was something actually extremely powerful about doing that and then choosing when to end it. The meditation continued into what would naturally come next as I get more absorbed. There was a fruition actually fairly easily shortly afterwards. And after that, I just barely even tilted the mind towards further fruitions and continued to get them. And then during one of the few moments before the next fruition, I spontaneously went into a travel and had a fruition for the second time on this street by going through a doorway in the travel. The confidence that this left me with was remarkable, and in fact, I look forward to being able to try it again. It felt counterintuitive to explore a jnana that I'm normally just so eager to get out of and to get beyond. Very, very productive. As day 24 has continued, I find that I'm having a lot more confidence in the sits, confidence that the sequence is going to unfold, confidence to explore the colors more. I'll get to that in 1 second, but I really think that the throwing myself into the reobservation experiences last night somehow bolstered up my strength. Earlier today, I was doing more of the hand travel, like the partial travel with the hands into the colors. And I'm really pleased that it's able to happen so quickly after disillusion. I used to have to wait for the colors to get quite dramatic to be able to do much with them. And if you could imagine almost like a white gesso with ochre, yellow ochre paint mixed in, this is sort of the surface that I'm working with quite a bit. And I'm able to put my hand, so to speak, while my hands are resting on my lap meditating, I'm able to put my hand into the paint or into the colors and do things like write messages. I'll just intend for a message to be written, kind of like finger painting. The last message that got written, I never know what it's going to be, but the last one was just this huge message across the whole color field saying good morning. Then I decided that I just can't wait for the medicine Buddha to show up on his own terms. In the meantime, I have to do something. So I decided that I would start trying to draw sort of the three sections, the head, the body, and the legs of the medicine Buddha sitting in the full lotus. So I've started with intending for the shape of the head to be drawn, and I've had success with that. No detail on it, but just the shape of a head. Later this afternoon, I've been finally able to see the shapes of faces, three-dimensional, starting to form in that same kind of white gesso, yellow ochre color field. And then when the eyes and nose and mouth start forming, it takes on a much more three-dimensional, where the eyes recede and the nose comes out at me. And when I was in India, I saw a lot of enormous Buddha Rupas made out of wood, stone, gold. This was back almost a year ago. And the faces that I'm seeing remind me a lot of the ones carved in India. And sometimes the faces are kind of fierce, but they have, to me, a Mahakala compassionate fierceness. Earlier in the retreat, I would have found these faces scary, and now they're quite energizing. And then some of the expressions on the faces are neutral, and I just have this trust that they are wholesome. I'm quite absorbed while I'm watching the faces become more detailed. Sometimes the nose kind of wanders off to the side, so I very gently intend for it to come back, or the eyes start separating from each other, or one eye starts to close. So there's a lot of dynamics that I'm trying to stabilize. I'm also going to be really heading into trying to get more clarity. These are still somewhat vague, definitely more defined than the face you'd see in the moon, but I want more detail, more clarity, and more stability. I also came very close to having a fruition while trying to see these faces in the colors, just due to my level of absorption watching them form. The fruitions are continuing to come with increasing ease and frequency in the sitting, walking, and also just in relaxing, sitting, not even meditating. And all of that is completely new to me since doing this retreat. It is the evening of day 24. I just got back from a kayak ride and had my first fruition while kayaking. Now, I have to say, at the beginning of the retreat, this was something I never thought was going to be able to happen. Before the kayaking, I don't think I mentioned that I was intending for the Buddha Rupa eyes to blink. And in the last sit, the eyes in an alternating way started blinking at me, and I became so enraptured by what was happening, had a fruition. I would still really like to be able to get to the point where in the fourth jhana, there's a place where you can get where there's living beings moving around on their own with their own intelligence, sense of their own intelligence, and I would still love to encounter the medicine Buddha in that realm. Or traveling would also be great. Evening of day 24, just about to go to sleep for the night. In the early evening sit, there was just a tremendous number of fruitions. I decided to just stay with the red dot and black dot for a while. And then I went for a walk, and I'm in a profoundly calm, quiet, neutral state. Came back from the walk and decided to just sit. Actually, I lay down and closed my eyes, and again, just very neutral, calm. The mind profoundly quiet. Not meditating, so no object. Sort of these electrical sounds in the air that my mantra often hooks up with, but no mantra tonight, and no need to do anything. A lot of spontaneous traveling, full body and partial traveling, that again had a very neutral feeling to it. Every once in a while, feeling the mild tremor of coming back into the body feels very natural. So I'm going to get some sleep. Late evening on day 25. I'm about to call this retreat a wrap. Tomorrow will be some packing to head back to my home in the city. I'll intersperse that with meditating as much as I can, but it'll probably be down to about half time. Today was sort of going back and forth between trying to get more clarity with the faces that were starting to form, and also spending quite a bit of time in this fairly deep state of equanimity. It's really an equanimity that I haven't experienced quite like this before, where there's a very neutral feeling to it, very tranquil. Not so much with the spacious aspect of equanimity that I'm used to. And the awareness that there's definitely high concentration without the need for concentrating. It's kind of a strange thing. It should be interesting making the transition back to daily living. I do wish that this will help anyone that is going to take on a similar experience of getting to know this incredible, versatile practice, the Fire Kasina meditation. At the end of the retreat, while I was still in a highly concentrated state of mind, I made a strong resolution that after having been in a review phase for the last few days of the retreat, that I'd be able to enter into the next progressive insight cycle. And sure enough, within a few days of getting back home, I was fairly mercilessly put back into the first few jhanas. And with the Fire Kasina practice, that would have been the first jhana. And I went through a long period, like about a month and a half, of flailing around in the meditation, feeling like an absolute beginner, highly, highly frustrating sits, and not able to attain fruitions. I hung in there and kept up with the daily practice and eventually was able to get up into the higher jhanas and start having fruitions again, at which point things really shifted for me quite strongly. And I can't help but think that the experiences that I had on the retreat helped bring about a fairly significant shift where the experience became much more spacious. There was a palpable drop in striving. Because this is not an exact science, it's certainly hard to know for certain if I can attribute this to having done the Fire Kasina practice. All I know is that after the retreat and breaking through to the next fruition, there has been a fairly significant diminished sense of self that has added a lightness to my day-to-day experiences. Also in the meditation sits themselves, what has happened since that first fruition post-retreat is the ability now to just sit without really meditating and having fruitions. That was something that I had experienced on the retreat for the first time, but had never experienced in daily living before. I look forward to having another opportunity at some point to do this meditation Fire Kasina practice in retreat mode again. I'll be much higher on the learning curve next time round. I can't speak highly enough about how the Fire Kasina meditation raises up the ability to not only concentrate, but to be able to assess the level of concentration that you're in during the meditation. Of course, there is no question that it helped having somebody experienced in this practice pointing out the possibilities along the way. That saved a lot of time in terms of not getting stuck in dead ends and getting suggestions on things that I could try at specific points in the practice. One of the most valuable lessons that I learned doing Fire Casino was learning how to just be as present as possible to the sensations that were being experienced. Given that I had absolutely no magical background prior to the retreat, it was definitely a struggle for me to figure out the balance on setting the intentions and dropping them. I have a hunch that next time around that will come easier for me. For any fellow meditators that are listening to this, I'll be very happy with any benefit that comes to you from listening to these recordings. Best wishes with your practice.